The most sexually adventurous thing I ever did, I did it when I was single. When I was single, I ordered the number one vibrator on the Love Honey website. And the Love Honey website is a sex toy website, for those of you pretending not to know. I kind of ordered it out of spite, right? Because one of my exes called me a prude, which I think is such an extreme thing to call someone. I don't think I did anything to warrant that. The only thing I can think of maybe is once I said that I don't like morning sex. That's not a big deal. That doesn't mean that I'm not sex positive. I just don't think you should do something that disgusting in the morning. Not whilst the blackbird is singing his morning tune. But I went on the website. It was late at night. I just ordered the first one on the list because I thought that will be good. That will probably be quite nice. The thing that arrived is so terrifying. It plugs directly into the wall. It has one of those on the end of it. It uses mains electricity. It needs to be pat tested. I just find that so threatening, because I think what that's basically saying is, what I'm about to do to you couldn't possibly be done with a battery. I'm gonna need that same stuff that powers your fridge. It's huge, it's bigger than this. It looks like a piece of farming equipment from the Industrial Revolution. But it's called a wand. There is nothing magical about it. I've never seen this type of vibrator before. All the vibrators that I've seen advertised online are very small and portable, and they're not making big claims. They're just happy to live in your bedside drawer, and they'll be there like, okay, girl, I'm here if you need me. Like, if you and your partner get like super, super drunk one night, maybe you could experiment with me for a little bit. Honestly, I might not do anything, but I might speed things along for you a little bit. Either way, no worries if not. Whereas my vibrator is just next to the bed like, do you want to meet God? Not really. It doesn't even fit in the bedside drawer. It's just curled up on the floor like a python. And after it arrived, I was like, is this the right thing? Because I checked on the website, so I thought maybe it got mixed up with like an order meant for Guantanamo Bay. It was the right thing. Not only that, I read the description for the first time. It said in the description, this is the world's most powerful vibrator. I don't think I need that. I need absolute max, a whisper on the wind. The world's most powerful vibrator. You shouldn't be able to buy that without a license. Underneath as well, it said, the vibrator will turn off automatically after 20 minutes for your safety. 21 minutes and there's a danger of death. It cost £90. So I felt like I had to try it because I spent so much money. And I don't even have a plug next to my bed. I had to get the extension cable. That felt desperate. I turned it on onto the lowest setting. It had 8 settings. I turned it onto setting 1. It was so loud. I was like, there's nothing private about this experience. The neighbours are going to think I'm having a new kitchen put in. At midnight, they're going to call the council. Well, no, they're not calling anyone. They don't have any power right now. I tried it just for like 1, maybe 2 seconds, and I was like, I can smell burning. I can't use this thing. It's going to sand me down. It's going to erode. I'm going to be flat over. There'll be nothing left like Barbie. But it had 8 settings. I thought, I have to see what setting 8 does. Not on myself. I know my limits. I just turned it up to setting 8 in the sky. Fuck me. I was like, I'm going to rip a hole in the space-time continuum.
So I'm a single mum, right? And whatever people say, it is different than being a single dad. Because women see single dads and go, oh, he's so good with his kids. Isn't he coping wonderfully? Oh, he's so good with his children. I must have sex with him now. Whereas men see single mums and they go, run him out, baggage! I went on a date with a guy that called my little boy baggage. He's 3. He's not baggage. He's hand luggage. He just fits in the overhead lockers. It's kind of perfect. Recently, my brother said, look, Shep, you've been separated for ages now. You really need to find yourself a new fella. Why don't you go on the internet? Because my brother found his girlfriend on the internet. I think it was eBay. joined an internet website, and to my surprise, right, on the online form that you had to fill in, one of the things you had to tick to see who you wanted was racial preference, and it said white, Caucasian, three boxes, not important, decidedly important, absolutely crucial. And I thought that's a little bit weird, because your photo's up there in the first place, so you can just be racist in private. You know, why hurt anyone's feelings, right? So, I want to show you this. I wrote an email to the administrator of this website. I wrote him an email, basically, in a nutshell, going, what are you on, mate? And he wrote back going, the choices we provide on our matching algorithms... I had to look that word up. Nothing to do with sex. ...are for our users to find the perfect match. They are in no way indicative of someone being racist at all. White, Caucasian, absolutely crucial. All right, so I wrote back going, shut up. A bit more coherent than that. And then he wrote back and said, some people are more stringent than others when it comes to finding a partner. Doesn't that sound like a real dig at me? Like, oh, you'd shag any old colour. We merely help them find the right person by enabling them to measure height, weight, occupation, level of income, and ethnicity. Thing is, height, weight, occupation, level of income, they're all things that can be measured. How do you measure ethnicity? I had no idea how to measure my own when I was filling out the form. I had to look on a Dulux colour chart. Turns out I'm natural calico. This correspondence went on for quite a while, right? And tell me if you think I went too far. Eventually, I sent him a copy of the Nuremberg race laws. I'm not saying that this website is a Nazi organisation. I just think we should nip things in the bud at source. He wrote back to me and said, dear Shappy, I've enjoyed our correspondence. I have now noticed your name is Shappy Corsandi. Might you be the same Shappy Corsandi I saw on the Michael McIntyre Comedy Roadshow? If so, I am single. And I wondered if you'd like to go for a coffee. Won't this be a funny story to tell our kids? Smiley face. I wrote back. I said, thank you so much for your email. I'm very flattered. However, I've noticed your name is James Chowdhury. Little bit too brown for me. Natural colour code.
But I've got Sky TV now, which is excellent. You can pause live TV, just pause it. The people at home now can just pause it, and it's a perfect pause. Not the old sort of 1980s VHS pause. That was a very different story, wasn't it? You couldn't even see what you were watching in 1980s pause. People who weren't moving would start moving. Is it even moving in this scene? People in paintings would come to life. I'm in a painting! But then once you pause it, it's quite exciting because you can watch it back at like times 2 or times 6 or times 12 or times 30, which makes boring programs quite entertaining. Like at the tennis, you can forward the changeovers. Watching Andy Murray eating a banana in times 12 is quite exciting. Deal or no deal in times 30. It really whizzes along. I watch all TV. I watch TV just to slag it off, to be honest. Dragon's Den winds me right up. I know you're rich, dragons. You don't need to bring your cash with you. They sit there with cash on their tables. I'm so tremendously wealthy, all my bank accounts are full. I've had to bring additional funds with me tonight. What about you, Theopathetis? Have you got money on your table? Oh, I'm completely loaded. I've thrown money up onto my table, that's every time. What about you two dragons? Oh yes, we've got a lot of cash here. All right, bring in the first poor person, let's see what they've got. They come in trembling. Hello, dragons. Please, can I have some cash? For the ideas in my brain. I feel sick just looking at poor people. The state of her clothing. For that reason, I'm out. What about you, Theopathetus? Are you out? I will be out, but I'm going to humiliate the bitch for 15 minutes. Then I will declare that I too am out. I'd like to go in Dragon's Den with a shotgun. Just stand there, pointing it at each of them individually, till one of them goes, so what's your idea? Quite simple, put that cash in this bag. All right? You get no equity. I like some TV. I watch it till the bitter end, literally like the early hours of the morning, till the signing zone, the death zone. That's when you know it's probably time for bed. You know? And there's somebody in the corner signing. You feel a bit like, this isn't really for me. They almost look at you like, come on, you could have watched this in the day. It's probably bedtime for you. Deaf people have been asleep all day to stay up for this. Have some respect. I like it when there's no dialogue in the show and they watch TV with you. The other day I was watching the Blue Planet or something. This is a show with David Attenborough where they discover creatures from the depths of the ocean for the very first time. Literally fish that were only just discovered, and they were naming them on the show. So he was going, here we have the newly discovered Diplodocus. And the signing guy was going... He resorted to impersonating the fish. It was hilarious. The fish was swimming, he was just underneath going...
that have come out of this pandemic. I do. And I think one of the major good things that's come out of it is how we've embraced new technology. Isn't it? Because it's just unbelievable. Who knew what Zoom was 2 years ago? None of us. Like last week, I had to do a speed awareness course online. Now, you should be doing that on something called Zoom, but that's the world we're in now. It's the world we're in. I've got a phone that can recognise my face. That already makes it better than my nan. Come on! I embrace new technology. I do, because could you imagine if this pandemic had happened like 30 years ago? No internet, no Zoom, no Pornhub. I don't know why I looked at you, sir, but I did. Because I think we've forgotten, here in 2021, we've forgotten what really being bored feels like. Like proper bored. My friend's little boy said the other day he gets bored waiting for an app to load. Fuck off, mate. It's not boredom, is it? I'm talking Sunday afternoon in the 80s. That was boredom. When it was raining, you'd read every book in the house. I grew up in Maidstone. That's a Mills and Boone and an Argos catalogue. Your mum's watching something black and white on the only telly in the house, so you listen to your Walkman for a bit, but the batteries are dying, so Madonna's Like a Virgin sounds like Barry White singing it. You can't go and buy more batteries, can you? You can't, because all the shops are shut. And I mean... all the shops are shut, even the petrol stations are shut, and then when you think your day can't get any more tedious, your dad would go, get in the car, everyone, we're going to go and visit someone. That's what we do, isn't it? On a Sunday afternoon in the 80s, we would visit people for no reason other than to ruin their day. Do you know what? Young people don't believe this when you tell them. We never told them we were coming. Could you imagine doing that to someone today? They'd be livid, wouldn't they? We used to spend every Sunday with people wishing that they'd hoovered and we'd fuck off, didn't we? And right on, like, the only people who phoned ahead in the 1980s were the IRA. Fact. I wouldn't be a teenager now, though, would you? I wouldn't be a teenager now. When I think of the things I did when I was a teenager, the thought of that being on the internet forever... it makes me feel physically sick. It does. The way they have to communicate with each other is something I just can't understand. You know, sexting. I couldn't write a sext. I don't know what to put in a birthday card. When I was a teenager, if I wanted to leave a sexy message for a boy, I'd have to ring his landline and leave a message with his mum. All to what, dear? All over your what? Different times, isn't it? Different times. There was a boy I fancied at school. I couldn't text him to write him a note, stick it in his school bag. And I'd make him a mixtape. Write him a poem. That's all we had, didn't we? I genuinely think a 14-year-old girl today, she would be more freaked out if you sent her a poem than if you sent her a picture of your knob. A poem would freak her out more. what, she'd be with the friends going, I mean, it was like a song, but it wasn't a song. And there was no cock in it. Not even a bollock, no. Times, you know. Different. Apparently, young people today, they are most likely now to have their very first sexual experience online. By FaceTime or Skype, they're not even in the same room. You've got one teenager in this house on their phone and the other teenager in this house on their phone, and that's how they're having their first sexual experience. And I just think, do you know what? Getting fingered behind a caravan at a fairground is not ideal. But at least I was getting some fresh air.
Right. I think women should just let it out. It's a big day in a girl's life when she can freely let rip in front of her bloke. It is. I think women should be having I farted in front of my boyfriend for the first time parties. I think they should be ringing up their mums, just going, Mum, I've got something to tell you. Oh, darling, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? I just did a fart in front of Tom. Oh, darling, that's wonderful news. Wonderful news. And what did he say? He didn't say anything. He just laughed and farted back. Meanwhile, Dad will be in the background just going, women are farting far too early in front of their boyfriends these days. It was 18 months before your mother even trumped in my direction. 6 months before she'd take a dump in the house when I was around. Yes. And also, I'll tell you something else we pretend as well. We keep the old the lady garden quite tidy, us girls, don't we, in the early stages. We all do little tricks with it. Look, it's a strip, it's a Brazilian. Oh, look, I put a hat on it, it's a Mexican. Like we do. We do all that in the early stages, and then after about a year, it looks like the back of the wardrobe that leads to Narnia. Well, if he wants it, he's going to have to work for it. People say to me, Andy, you could try meeting people in a nightclub. You'll never meet anyone good in a nightclub because the nightclub environment is designed to have us make bad decisions. It is because it's dark, you can't see, you can't hear. You know what? If nightclubs want to be responsible, what they should do to help us out is just before the exit, they should have a brightly lit room where you can check out the person you're leaving with. Yes, they should. They should call it, have a sodding word with yourself, lounge. And you'd literally get women in there just going, oh my God, you're wearing a fleece. I couldn't tell because it's so dark in there. Okay, nice to meet you. But listen, if you meet somebody online, what I'm going to say is there's some safety things to take into consideration. Now, I met somebody through Twitter just the once. I'll never do it again. And it was the most irresponsible thing I think I've ever done. And I spoke to a friend about it before we met up. And I said, listen, I've met this guy and we seem to really like each other. And we're talking about meeting up. What do you reckon? Should I meet him? And before my mate even had a chance to say anything, I said, you know what? I am going to meet this guy. You know why? Because life's too short. And my mate just went, yeah, you're going to find out how short. And my mum says, she says, look, if you go on these dates, make sure you meet in a public place, okay? And I'm just going to add something to that. Public place, brill. Public house, excellent. Public toilet. Don't meet in a... Never meet in a public toilet. No good can come of it. Unless it's, you know them space-age toilets that they have outside where you put the money in, press the button, and then the door opens. You know why? Because you can pretend it's blind date. You just put the money and press the button. Dun, 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 dun. And if you don't like it, just press the button really quickly. Dun, dun, dun. I don't know why, like, young couples, new couples have got this obsession with finding out how many people someone's been out with from before. Like, how many previous partners? How many previous partners? This is a lose-lose situation, right? And if any of you have ever had that conversation or you think it's ever going to come up, this is what I say. This is what you should say, okay? Just say to the person that's asked you, you want to know how many previous partners? Okay, I'll tell you from the beginning, all right? 1, 2, 3, 4, you, 6, 7...
My wife gave birth to two little girls, and they're excited. It's exciting. The hardest thing with twins, of course, is picking your favourite. You know, that's the hardest thing. I go for the one that's not crying a lot of the time. No, the hardest thing is the lack of sleep. That's what everyone says, don't they? Lack of sleep. I've been getting 3-4 hours sleep at night, so has my wife. And, I mean, famously, of course, Margaret Thatcher, she got by on 4 hours sleep a night. And that sort of goes some way to explaining why she was a proper miserable bitch, right? Because... honestly, right? It's right, isn't it? I mean... I sometimes wake up after 4 hours sleep and want to close a couple of minds. You know what I mean? That's how I'm right. Take milk off children, give it here. The one time you know you're not getting enough sleep, right? There's two times it happens. One time is when you look in the mirror and you can see what you're going to look like in 15 years' time, right? That's when you know you're not getting enough sleep. The other time is when you hear one of the most beautiful sounds in nature, bird song, okay, at 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning, and all you can think of is, shut up. Shut your little beaky mouth. You little feathery bastard. That's when you need to have a lie-in at some point. Someone needs to come and relieve you. One of the things I found amazing while my wife was pregnant, and not amazing, that sounds bad, but is how much you actually fancy her while she's pregnant, OK? It's phenomenal. It just strikes blokes. You see your wife, I saw my wife, I think, whoa, yeah, whoa. Mainly because her boobs go massive, right? That's convinced me that God is a woman, because only a female would make those boobs the best looking they've ever been, yet too sensitive to do anything with. You forget yourself sometimes as well. I forgot myself. I remember coming one night, it was 2 a.m. I got into bed, I had to be up at 7. And my wife was out here, like, just before she popped, and she turned over, right, in the night. Beep, beep, beep. And she nudged me awake, complete mistake, but I forgot for a second, I just forgot myself, and I woke up, I went, oh, that's so frustrating. And she was up straight, bolt upright over me, eyes red in the darkness. Oh, frustrating, is it? Luckily, I had my wits about me, I went, just frustrating not being able to help you. Where it came from, but I got away with it. She got angry at little things. We watched the film Superman, right? Now, I love Superman. She'd never seen it. She's from Derby, and I don't know if they've got a cinema there, to be honest. I think there was just one bloke on her street had a big telly, and that was it. And he just had one copy of Teen Wolf, and that was all he watched. So she's never seen any films, right? So I said, right, you've got to watch Superman, it's a classic. And we were getting through loads of films and that while she was pregnant, bored and that. And we put Superman in, and we got about half an hour into it, and then the pause come on. I said, what's up? She went, I said, who? She went, Lois Lane. I don't know why she's talking like Bernard Manning, my wife. Lois Lane. She is winding me right up. I said, why? She went, she has just been underwater for 15 minutes, unconscious, flown through the air at the speed of a bullet, lay on the ground, water's come out of her mouth, and now look at her. Her hair and makeup are still perfect, aren't they? She's really angry about it. But I sort of tried to appease her. I said, listen, that's because she's a Hollywood film star. She doesn't work at Greggs in Chorley. Right now, I shouldn't have said that. My wife's a supervisor. It was out of order, okay? No steak bakes for the week. I was starving.
So I came to Britain in the early 80s. We were refugees long before it became fashionable. But my favourite immigrants are Polish people because they've properly confused old-fashioned racists. Have you seen them? They don't know what to do. What do we do? What do we say? They're immigrants, but they're white. I heard this one bloke go, bloody Poles coming over here with their work ethic. Which isn't very politically correct. And I try so hard to be politically correct. Sometimes I take it too far. I was at a party recently and I said to my friend, have you met Steve? He's a really nice guy. My friend goes, which one's Steve? Steve was the only black guy in the room. I found myself going, Steve, yeah, he's over there. He's got blue jeans on, a grey T-shirt, sort of curly hair, and a Nigerian accent. And once I was performing at a comedy club and there was two black guys in the front row, like you two, but men and black. You are a man, sir, I'm sorry. It's the lights. And I said to them, so how do you two know each other? And they looked at each other and went, we don't. Might as well have had NF tattooed on my forehead. I didn't. It was felt tip. I like friendly. A little bit of friendly racism is nice. When I was a little girl, I used to always go to my friend Katie's house, and every time her dad opened the door, he'd go, "Hello, Shuffy. Been on holiday?" So, I have a little boy, I have a baby boy, I'm a mum, and I'm looking at you, some of you are so young, I could be your mummy if I lived somewhere rural. Like a lot of women, I got to my 30s and I thought, I've got to have a baby now, while my mum's still young enough to look after it for me. And I went to all the antenatal classes, and this woman came up to me, one of the other mums goes, "Oh, how are you planning on losing your baby weight?" And I was like, "Well, I was just thinking of having the child." And she was like, "Oh, I'm going to be a yummy mummy. I'm going to lose all my..." Yummy mummy, that's just like a middle-class way of saying MILF. I was so happy when I found out that I was pregnant. And we had a scan and we knew that it was a boy. And people said to me, "Why did you find out the sex of your baby? Didn't you want a surprise?" Well, it's going to be a boy or a girl, do you know what I mean? The only surprise would have been if it was a puppy. And there are no puppies in my family. There's one goat. It's not a blood relation. Thank goodness I have a child. It was no fun being a broody Iranian woman. Every time I said to people, "My body thought's ticking," they'd hit the ground. So with all that going on, when I did find out I was pregnant, I was so delighted. I thought, I am going to fill this child's life up with love and hope and understanding. My husband's reaction was slightly different. He walked around going, "Woohoo! My soul just worked! Isa! Isa!" It's not his. Oh, the fuss he made when he found out I was cheating on him. Only child. Can't share. My husband's English, he's from Nottingham, and a lot of people ask me if my husband's Iranian. And I go, "Well, he's not, he's English, but he's planning to convert." His family are absolutely lovely, and when they first met me, they kept going, "Oh, Shappy's so exotic, she's so exotic," which means foreign, but not in a way that we hate.
I'll be honest with you, folks, I was involved with a man a few years ago, okay? More than 10 years ago, I was involved with a man, but because it's more than 10 years ago, I don't want to say I'm bisexual now. I haven't been bummed in a decade, yeah? I feel like you need to renew your certificates. I'll just go around dining out on former glories while practitioners of bisexuality are out there, front lines, out of order to them. Consequences. And I feel like that's happening a lot now. A lot of straight people are trying to claim they're a little bit more gay than they are just to seem interesting, yeah? "I'm a bit gay." "Are you, though?" "Have you been bummed?"
"I'm a bit gay."
"Yeah, come on, let's hear it." I was talking to a guy at a party, right? He told me he was bisexual because he'd had a couple of gay thoughts. Thoughts. I've had thoughts about volunteering. Have I volunteered? Have I fuck? And therefore, I am not a volunteer. It's quite straightforward. I can't walk up to volunteers outside a soup kitchen and say, "Yeah, I've thought about doing that." Me and you are one and the same. Have a great day. I'm off to have fun while we both volunteer. It's out of order. But the LGBTQ is getting mentioned more now. We're being represented in the media. I feel like that's good. It's getting talked about. Footballers sometimes wear the thing on their arm. But sometimes you're thinking, is this a company just being a little bit, do you know what I mean? Just being a bit naughty and trying to seem, okay, you're on side. All right, I was outside Sainsbury's. On the window, it said, "Sainsbury's proudly supports the LGBTQ. And I'm thinking, how exactly does this play out, Sainsbury's? What is this support you're talking of? Do you send your reps down to gay orgies? To cheer them on from the side? Go on, son, that's it, put it in the bum. Yeah, the hairy one, that's it. Yeah, that's right. Do you want a bag for that, boys? girls, do the scissors thing or whatever it is you do. Yeah. So they all taste the same, or can you taste the difference? Sainsbury's supports this. Good for you. Or is their support more subliminal? It's more like in-store, little things you don't think you realise you've seen. You know, like you go up to the sausage roll aisle. It used to be in packs of one, now it's packs of two, tip to tip. So that when you do see two cocks going at it, you think, where have I seen that? I've seen that somewhere before. That's fine, because I know that. I've seen that. But, you know, to be honest, when I was involved with this guy, it wasn't about him being a guy. It was about the connection we had, right? I didn't really care about his gender, which I guess makes me a pansexual back then. But I didn't stick, so I'm more like a non-stick pan.